Hey, I'm glad you're here tonight. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. The Ragged Edge Live show tonight, it is the 13th of May, already middle of May almost, Monday night, 2013. Didakalos Satanos, that's the title for the week, I guess. Didaskalos Satanos, this is, well, the question out tonight is, for this whole week anyway, is, just what did and does the devil say? Does he speak? Does he communicate? Ed Dames, the remote viewer, well known around the world, says that he remote viewed the devil himself, said that it scared the bejesus out of him, that it looked like a cold, crystalline entity. Let me ask you tonight, as we talk about this week, a little bit of exposure, the man behind the curtain, by the way. I mean, this is the one that brought down a third of the angels, brought down the human race, and will bring the greatest destruction the human race has ever seen. So I think it's important to go ahead and bring some exposure, specifically letting everybody know that he's a master communicator in the arts of deception, seduction, masquerading. It's always deadly. It's like biting into the cotton candy, you know, where the razor blades have been planted. If you're with us tonight, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web, want to say welcome to all those who are listening by the internet, by the satellite, Globalstar, and by CB Channel 19. Around the world by the downloads, and we know that somehow there's those who put this up on some shortwave here and there. Glad for that right now. We're expanding everything. June 1st, we begin Hotbird over Israel and all of the Middle East. And the millions and millions and millions and millions of possibilities as far as listeners. So we need all of you who've been listening to this program, this broadcast for some time. We need your prayers because bottom line, it is all about the Great Commission. And we want you to know today, wherever you are, God knows you. God knows this day and all that you're going through. He loves you. Nobody knows you better. Nobody desires us more than God himself. Now, I've got some stories that are going on right now concerning in the internet. I've had probably about five or six individuals send me this. It is child sacrifice and trafficking in Holland, and an eyewitness speaks out. Now, I'm listening to this, kind of vetted a little bit. I'm going to put it in the preempted newsletter. It's not out yet. It'll be out late tonight for the entire week and have links on it. I'll put the link to this video. Shows a woman there in Holland and where she's been. The connections with military and castles and also the Bilderbergers. But someone giving testimony to satanic ritual abuse, child sacrifice, and human trafficking out of Holland. So no question, for those in the Scandinavian countries, we have friends there, people that have supported, people that have listened, people that have given their hearts to Christ. We're very grateful and to be there with you. And this new satellite beginning in June, I think it will make it more accessible to everyone in all of Europe, in Russia, and the Scandinavian countries. So we're glad for that, glad that you're here tonight. And may God just in engage your life tonight, whatever you're going through, but also what his will is, what his call is, what his what it is that God desires for the believer in Christ, what he wants you to be doing. And again, stepping out doing what God has called us to do in God's way and with God's power, it is an extraordinary life that can be lived. An extraordinary life that can be lived. Now, I think about the case in Cleveland, Ohio, on Seymour Street. A lot of that because we've been in the area so many times, and we've engaged in the area of satanic ritual abuse, the coven or cult group called the Circle of Dominion. And I have a friend that sends to me, my friend that had gone with me to France to the Upside Down Mountain, Rob. He sends to me, and he's looking through all this. He's been on a number of the outreach REAP trips that we do and knows about our SIIU unit and the rest. And so he's looking into things also. So he sends me a Google map of Seymour Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio, and the house where the girls were kept captive for 10 years. Now, I don't know about you, but that's 10 years. That's amazing. Amount of time to be jailed, captivated, in, hidden away from the rest of the world. And I know that many of you have heard the case. The case is worldwide. I mean, it's worldwide in news media all over the world. It has gone global out of Cleveland, Ohio. Let that case speak to you about this. Human trafficking like that and worse, in which the locked down, abducted boys and girls, they are used in sex trafficking, work trafficking, the rest. You're talking 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day. The idea that they'd love to get free, the hopelessness, all the rest. And then underneath that layer of human tragedy and crime is satanic ritual abuse, 40 million worldwide. And like the video I'm going to connect to our preemptor newsletter going out tonight late. If you'd like to get that newsletter, it's an email newsletter every single week with links and information, update, the series for the week. And there's a subscribe, if you go shatterthedarkness.net, go down and subscribe there. Or you can go to theraggededgeradio.com, theraggededgeradio.com. And that's where we're going to list all the other avenues of listening to The Ragged Edge, to the Hotbird satellite in Europe, and any other stations, including, hopefully, as we pray, locally out of Canton. In this area, we're going to try to be on locally on an FM station. So we're looking to broaden this. And that comes again from that sense that God gives at times, a move, that burden that we begin to pray about. And the doors have opened wide. Again, no other, and even on the FM, everything else, no other commercials. We're not going to take time. Simply to say, if you listen, support tab is on the Shatter the Darkness website. And if you're listening only by satellite, you can send something to P.O. Box 755, P.O. Box 755, Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. Thank you for all that you that do, and appreciate the 20-some of you that I know you're getting late thank you letters, but they're coming. And we're grateful to be here on the field. The radio is probably the broadest that what we, as far as what we do, and then the conferences. But I want you to know that every week now, we're back on the field. The REAP trips are out there. The SIIU unit is broadening as never before in 30 years. That's just the doors that are opening. And we're inundated by the request, by the asking for help. And so the goal, as tonight late, we're going to train more and more and more individuals. We could have held a local class of 30, 40 maybe, but instead we've gone live on the web to do a live training course, Monday night, Spiritual Warfare, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. About 250 people in the class live, and another 600, 700, 800 that listen and download it later on. And then Tuesday night, Occult and Satanic Crimes. And yes, we're going to talk about the Seymour case and how that is like human trafficking and satanic ritual abuse as far as the captivity, the abuse, and amazing. So as you listen to the stories of the victims that have come out of there, and no doubt they'll be telling the stories and all the rest of the information that's going to come out concerning it, it's going to be pretty astounding. One thing that I'm looking for is whether or not there's any occult, satanic connection, what the guy Ariel was into. The reason, because in the Jeffrey Dahmer case, do you remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Out of the Bath, Ohio area, living in Wisconsin, slaughtering and killing individuals. I mean, drilling holes into their heads, cutting them up, putting them in big barrels of acid and their human remains inside his refrigerator. Now, all of that is horrific. All of that is terrible. All of that is absolutely real. But I watched the documentary where the actual law enforcement agent that engaged Jeffrey Dahmer and dealt with him never said a word about the satanic connection. Now, again, I'm going to tell you that while I was at DefTech, a SWAT team training area, we were being trained in advanced occult crimes and so forth. There, Tom Wedge brings in just massive manuals and slides and video from, cases down at Matamoros, other cases, and then also the Jeffrey Dahmer case. So we got to look inside the house. I mean, the unbelievable amount of satanic literature. The human skulls and the satanic altar built out of human thigh bones. So none of that I've seen really reached the public in any way whatsoever, even the documentary. And nobody touched on the multiplicity other than Thomas McGowan in his book Programmed to Kill. He finally comes out to acknowledge the multiplicity, that is, subpersonalities and all the rest, that was inside Jeffrey Dahmer. Now, here's what we got to think about. Then, if that's true, if he was truly multiple and into deep Satanism and into the practice of the worship and the powers and all the rest, that would usually mean that subpersonalities in Jeffrey Dahmer were into the dark side, probably doing things to keep them hidden and cloaked from being found out, let alone the involvement of just the worship and the bondage that he was into as a whole. But here's another question nobody has jumped into. If Jeffrey Dahmer was multiple personality disorder, that means somebody did something to him somewhere. You can't become MPD without somebody causing the vast, massive trauma, usually normally in early childhood on. And then the satanic side, where did he learn that? So the question is, the backdrop to any SRA, MPD, that is, satanic ritually abused, and or the DID or MPD, the question is, who did that? And so that's some of the questions counselors have to ask when they're dealing with victims concerning the next generation. That didn't happen 25 years ago very much when victims began to come in their late 20s, early 30s, and then they had children, and then their children eventually were found out to be multiple in SRA. And then they already had children, and their children were MPD, SRA, and then so on and so on. Now, the bad news about that is that when there is no intervention, it continues. So I'm looking at the case in Holland that we will connect to our preemptor news email newsletter. I'm looking at the Seymour case and wanting to go up there very badly because we want to look at the whole area. Now, here's what my friend did. My friend gives me an aerial map, a satellite map of the area. I'm looking at the house right now on Seymour Street where the girls were kept. If you walk straight across the street and just keep walking, you walk into the large Brooklyn Cemetery. Because the law enforcement saying they found no bodies, little bodies or anything, inside the house or anywhere else. That's not the only place to look. Like in the case with the little baby girl that was eventually found in the wooded area in plastic bags. The Casey Anthony the case. So I would say here, especially if the one girl, Michelle Knight, had been pregnant 5 times and this guy beat the child out of her, which is meaning that he homicide, he slaughtered little babies, and should be charged that way, where are the remains? So are they flushed? Are they taken somewhere else? So the questions are still that need to be pushed and asked, the motivations behind this, other than just what many are used to hearing, a sick man, somebody who's just crazy. It's far more than that. And so that's going to kind of be connected to this week's series. The series is called Didaskalos. It comes from the Greek word teaching. And I took it directly from 1 Timothy 4:1, when the Spirit of God warns that in the end of days, demonic spirits, they're called in the Greek planos, they're imposters, seducers, they're coming in a vast global way for one reason, to deceive many, to lead some to write didaskalos daemonoia, that is, teachings that are coming directly from these entities the Bible calls demons. Now, the entities can speak and guide and lead and inspire and direct. If you're a Bible believer and you understand the scriptures are inspired by the Spirit of God, in counterfeit and contrast to that comes many other writings, not just the ones that I'm going to mention this week. So we're going to talk about Didaskalos Satanas. There is no temptation of the human race without it. There is no engagement, both in an audible or by just sent involuntary feelings, involuntary thoughts. You know, you've heard the technology, voice to skull, computer to skull, in military applications, DARPA, the idea of sending thoughts. Psychics like to talk about it. Astral projectors like to talk about it. Psy warriors from Fort Bragg's Goat Lab has talked about it, many others. So there's kind of a weaponization of the process also. The Russian psy warriors attempted to send thoughts into the U.S. president's head when he was there years and years ago. I believe it was President Carter. That's the concept. I mean, when you engage someone that's really learning telepathy and even the concepts of synthetic telepathy, the issue of sending thoughts. And those who've been through and are going through gang stalking, the stalking issue and the thoughts being sent, can you send that from a satellite? Sure. Can you send it from a mobile unit? Sure. Can you send it, you know, I mean, we know that concerning it like a bullhorn, like what I'm doing right now. Many of you are going to listen to this in Canada, South America, all over the three levels of the continent on this side, and many of the islands everywhere, and off satellite, and on internet worldwide. Later on with the new satellite system, 120 million other possible listeners, that's vast. And some of those are going to be in small homes where all they have is a satellite dish. Some are going to get this. 90 million can possibly get it by cable television on the radio channels. So we're going to be sending the broadcast. Can you send thoughts? Have you ever worried or wondered whether somebody who has the power, like mesmer, the idea of hypnotism also, someone to invade your mind, remote viewers claim they can, all the psi warriors and all SRAs, all those who are called quote-unquote chosen ones, inside of them, they not only have abilities to personalities empowered to astral project, and weaponize that, demonize that, dark side that in the sense of attacking individuals, new levels of warfare for the believers that need to be understood, but they can also send thought. They believe no matter what we would say we believe, there's no question they believe that. Sending thought, psychic phenomena, psi research. It's all there. And the scriptures, without question, reveal that Satan can send and demons can send nonverbal communication. Listen, nonverbal communication. Mark down Ephesians chapter 6. The believer in Christ is told and commanded to put on the armor of God, which allows you to walk in the felt, manifested power and might and strength of God. Truth, righteousness, the peace that comes from the gospel, the readiness, the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith. Now listen, this is vital because you lift up the shield of faith, you can extinguish what? I believe that as I pastored and counseled thousands over 38 years, and as we've engaged the world of counseling vastly over 38 years, I mean vastly, I mean really digging in, learning and studying and reading and doing all that we could to get from the hand of God the grace needed to help individuals. But I'm convinced that to half of individuals that are going through depression and troubles and other things, believers specifically, it's not just rational cognitive issues. It's spiritual warfare. In the sense that the dark side, real entity, listen, an entity sends non-verbal but yet clearly communicated communication. If you read Ephesians 6, you're going to find out. And I would say this, 90% of the books of probably 400 or more on spiritual warfare don't mention this. I've asked in conferences all over the United States, 90% don't understand, didn't know this. And it's right there in Scripture. That's why verse by verse by verse, the Spirit of God, what He has said, what He reveals, and in the context is so vital. So if you're going to have the whole armor of God on, if you don't have the shield of faith up, then you don't have the whole armor of God on. And I'm mentioning all this in advance of today's subject, the Satanic Bible and the Nine Statements. We'll get to that in about 5 minutes. Tuesday night, the Devil's Bible from the Church of the Cathedral of the Black Goat. And we're going to talk about that and the Codex Gigas and the Necromonicron and other ancient writings that are claimed to be Satanic Bibles or the Devil's Bible. And we're going to kind of, show the influence of those, but I'm also going to say the devil's breath goes way beyond just those four that I've mentioned already, and many others that we'll talk about this week. It's vital that we understand how broad dark side communication is. Masqueraded, it's going to, I would say this now, tens of millions of New Agers, remote viewers, astral projectors, and psychics, and Gnostics, and the rest. Extra-biblical writings inspired by spirits, it's real, but it didn't come from the Spirit of God. Like the Book of Mormon, like the Gnostic writings, like the lady psychologist that wrote A Course in Miracles. Like Paul Von Ward's book, God's Genes and Consciousness, in which he admits at the end of the book what I sensed all the way through. By the way, when I read that book numbers of years ago, I was out at a big campgrounds. My daughter was at one of the big festivals, Christian festivals, and I spent a lot of the time just reading back at the campsite, enjoyed it. But I remember reading this book more and more I read, the more I said, this is one of the most dangerous books out in the field. Because I kept saying, and talking to the Lord, because when I read, I'm interacting the grid of scriptures, the Spirit of God within, and talking to the Lord for insight and looking at the stuff that needs to be. And sometimes you got to understand how I'm outraged. I'm like, I don't have enough time to bring the exposure at times. And the emphasis in the better you know the scripture, the better you know the word of God, the better you're going to discern all the other things. Because as prophesied and told by the Spirit of God, the broadest spiritual deception, seduction in human history, I don't know how many times I'm going to say this, that spiritual deception comes by didakalos satanas. Or didake demonoia. That is the sent communication, whether verbal but mostly non-verbal. Kind of like voice to skull, voice to consciousness, dark spirit to human spirit, Satan to human mind. Like the idea of somebody coming up behind you and just whispering a phrase. So when you read Ephesians chapter 6 and we're told to put on the armor of God, if you don't have the shield of faith up or even know what that is, then you are unprotected in the realm of head games and communication. That's where we talk about putting up the shield of faith by which, now think of this, here's what the Spirit of God says, by which you can extinguish, that is to put out completely all the fiery darts or the flaming arrows. The Spirit of God defines satanic communication as fiery dart or a poisoned, fiery, deadly arrow. That's the picture. That's the picture the Spirit of God gives on the dark side communication. If you remember in the Old Testament, Satan rose up against Israel and he enticed David to sin, which led to judgment. If you remember Judas, where he's inspired, but more than inspired, the biblical picture is that Satan not only walked right into him, he entered into him, but there had to be communication for him to do what he did. You got to understand that millions around the world that are getting voices in their head, visitations they call sleep paralysis, but it is not just, that's the symptom, that's the effect, but the entities are visiting like never before, and they are communicating, and they are speaking both, the nonverbal is number one, to bring into your head and into your feeling communication. Can you communicate to feelings? Sure. Do you ever have somebody say, do you feel me? They say something, they say, do you feel me? You know, that kind of street language, do you feel me? If I was to ask you right now, how are you feeling? You're going to describe what communication is inside your feeling. You're feeling good. Well, what's that based on? You're feeling bad. What's that based on? Your feelings are based on cognitive thought behind the actual feeling. So if you're saying, man, I'm really feeling bad, I'm really feeling scared, back that up. See what you're going through. That's why it's important in your, you know, your daily walk about giving praise to God, knowing the truth, you know, knowing how to lift things up, your cares to God, and all the rest, so that your mind and your heart, and let me give you this, your mind and heart can be transcended, superseded by the power and peace of God directly. Mark down Philippians chapter 3. When we're told by God not to be anxious about nothing. I think some people love being anxious. They can't live without it. I love living without it. I love having more of the sense of joy, God's felt sense and presence. I love that more than the anxiety issue. So when God says in Philippians 3, be anxious for nothing, that is, you know, the idea of anxious, where there's that agitating, almost fearful, and, you know, where everything is being, your mind, your emotion is being just drained from the anxious, burdened down cares. So here's what God says to do, to lift up those issues to God in prayer with thanksgiving, by the way. And the promise is when we do that right, when we do what God says, the peace of God will transcend. The word means to supersede, to completely override, go over the top in giving you that peace, guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So there is a peace. We get peace with God when we come to Christ. We have peace in our heart, in our mind, in our emotion. I mean, that Greek word arene, the cessation of hostility. It's the idea of that felt peace that comes from Jesus when he said that he's overcome the world, that he has the peace that he's going to give to us, but not like the world gives. This is beyond. Communicated by the Spirit of God because of God's truth. So in the context of spiritual warfare, in the context of what does the devil say? What did he say? What is he saying? What will he say in the future? Because there's future speak God already defines exactly what he's going to be saying through the Antichrist. What his ultimate doctrine is that's being embedded worldwide. And the false promise. Well, we'll get to all of that this week. The primary issues tonight is Didakalos, Satanas, the idea that Satan does speak, and that those arrows mentioned in Ephesians 6 are real, absolutely voice to skull, voice to human mind, voice to human heart, voice to human spirit, sent by an actual entity. So I'm reading years ago, a couple years ago, a book called Contact. This is supposed to be written by a journalist out of Los Angeles who is retired and has all of a sudden started getting thoughts sent into his head. And then he begins to accept them. And then he begins to believe them. And then he begins to act on them. And then he goes out as those thoughts are guiding him and leading him. This is true of Craig Hines, in the author of the book Gateway of the Gods, and what began to lead him. And it's what I've seen in all these cases. And what I know that I experienced prior to coming to Christ. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, the Spirit of God guides. The Spirit of God leads. You read Acts chapter 8, and what the Spirit of God says to you at times is quotable. As Philip quotes exactly what the Holy Spirit says to him. So, God the Holy Spirit spoke and guided and led. Well, you can see it all the way through the book of Acts. That's who we're to count on as a believer. That's who speaks to my heart, warns me. That's the voice of the Lord inside. And not audible. I mean, I'm going to tell you honestly, I've never heard the audible voice, nor do you have to, in order to get the communication or God speaking to you. Does God speak to you? Psalm 34, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Ask, you'll receive. God speaks, and the Word of God is the living voice. It's actual living. It's alive. Every time you open that book, it's alive. The words are alive. The words are alive by the presence. I mean, you could say it's animated, saturated, empowered. They are literally zodos. They are living words. They have power in them. That's why it's vital. That's why Satan loves to steal and to twist and to keep anybody. I mean, if he can keep you from the book as a whole, well, that's his goal anyway. If he can't, then he loves to just steal it, twist it, and do whatever else, or offer, as in the beginning, offer a substitute. And that's ultimately, when we come down to Didaskalos Satanas, a instead of word. One last statement on the Ephesians 6 issue is that when you identify feelings in you that are not yours, thoughts coming into your head, what are those? Three things. Anything that is contrary to the character of God, the Word of God, number two, and the will of God. When the demonic side, when real dark spirits, beings, are sending thoughts, ideas, communication, whether just you feeling them come in or they're actual communications that you can even repeat in your head. Some of you have lies sent by the enemy through circumstances or whatever. And they're stuck there, like arrows stuck in your head, arrows stuck in your back or your backside. Lies of the enemy that go contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the will of God, contrary to the character of God. And if you sit back and ask for the Spirit of Truth to help identify anything the enemy has sent, that's Ephesians 6. That's part of being a believer. You have an enemy that seeks to devour. And if the enemy can, from 10 feet away, send, communicate to a believer in Christ, you're not saved. God's not really real. Prayer doesn't work. God's not going to be with you. He left you. You're too bad. You're too evil. He's not here. He's not going to listen. Everything I just said right there is exactly those contrary lies and more of those lies. I mean, we could probably write a page of what we know the enemy would send. I would pray that right now the Spirit of God give you insight to the point that you can write down right now and identify what it is Satan or the demonic realm has sent. If you have any lies lodged into your feelings or communicated into your actual thoughts that you can repeat, that you now recognize you didn't come up with them on your own, they were sent. In order for one of those poisonous, fiery darts or arrows to come your way, there has to be, listen, a sender. There is no such thing as an arrow flying through the air and hitting a tree without the archer that pulls back the string, has the arrow, aims it, and sends it. Do you understand how the demonic works? That's part of that knowledge is part of what helps us in our victory when we have the armor, this powerful manifesting strength and might of God on. And so what do? Lift up the shield of faith, that is, faith in Christ, faith in His Word. And I found this out to be true. For every lie, demons send. Every one of those non-verbal communications, and even if it was verbal, or it came through a channeler, or it came through a psychic, or it came through someone that has a spirit or an quote-unquote, unquote, alien demon, you know, being, however it comes, if it comes from the dark side, it is didaskalos demonoia or didaskalos satanas. It is actually thought up, designed, aimed at you, and then sent directly to be something to bring down your faith, something to suppress the believer, something to darken the heart of the believer. Something to make a believer angry at God, as if God, you know, that's the Job trick. The Job trick was Satan doing all the harm and then trying to get him to believe that it was God that did it all, or was absent, or was at fault in some way, with the goal of him getting angry at God and cursing God. That's the big trick. Many angry believers are walking around angry at God. I mean, absolutely angry at God. Because you didn't know anything about spiritual warfare. No one helped teach you this. And you didn't go look and decide to learn on your own. Don't wait to be spoon-fed any longer. Don't wait to sit around for someone to come by and just treat you like a baby. And you might not get anybody to do that. So get up, get to the scripture, begin to learn, begin to study verse by verse. I mean, you can buy a simple biblical study guide. That's not a commentary, but just takes you verse by verse by verse and learn. And you've got the Spirit of God as a believer to teach you. Well, I went heavy on that tonight to mention this because we're going to talk about the Satanic Bible tonight. And in this broadcast, I'm going to say that in the past, Satan has spoke. It's recorded. God recorded and literally inscripturated it. It's in Scripture, Genesis 3. You can find it in Matthew 4. So the scriptures not only give the actual instruction about Satan and demons and what they do, gives examples of what they've done, shows their methodology, you know, all their methods and ultimate agenda. And the ultimate agenda in the deception of the world and then the coming destruction is all predicated on their communication to convince hearts and lives and minds of absolute lethal lies. That's globalism. And we haven't heard yet the sequel to the book Black Awakening is the actual sequel to that book is actually already got a title. It's called The Voice of an Ancient Hate. So I pray right now in Jesus' name that God will reveal and show, and the Spirit of truth will show you the arrows that have been sent What the church doesn't understand on a broad way yet either is ritual warfare and astral warfare on the demonic side can be even more aggravating. I mean, there's newer, broader levels. Nothing that overrides what God has given us in the authority, in his personal protection, Psalm 91, the armor of God and all the victory that we have, if known, if appropriated, if used and applied, the believer could be powerfully shielded and powerfully offensive in the sense that you're able to really handle some things. May God make it so in your life. Tonight, we're talking about the Satanic Bible this week. Didaskalos, Satanas, what did and what does the devil say? Now, you can go do the research, simple research on the Satanic Bible. I mean, this is put out back when I was not a believer in Christ. This is put out way back 1969, a major turning point because the occult historian James Webb says that the second largest proliferation of occult literature, you know, this kind of stuff that we're talking about, the writings inspired by the demonic realm, by the satanic side, this has been poured out in the 60s in the United States. One of those books would be considered the Satanic Bible, Anton Sansador LaVey, Anton LaVey. Now, you look at the background of Anton LaVey, and you think in terms of the Satanic Bible, and I guess when I thought about the Satanic Bible, I thought, wow, that's the devil's Bible. That's what Satan says, until I read it, until I studied it. And though it's considered to, you know, be writings, you know, of Anton LaVey and called the Satanic Bible, it's not actually Satan's thought, per se, that Satan dictated it direct. I believe by that arrow, by that sense of communication. As a matter of fact, here's why I'm going to say the Satanic Bible is connected to the concept in Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, the archon, the ruler of the domain of the realm of the Eros, the dense spiritual, I mean, right above our heads, the spiritual atmosphere. His operating presence, he is now at work in those who are disobedient. The biblical understanding of that, Ephesians 2, is those who are unsaved, who have the sin nature operating within them, Satan has an operating hold. He has the ability to guide individuals into deeper and darker levels of sin issues. If the devil can push a person deeper into sin, the devil then can get a broader hold and begin to work even darker things into a human life. Fallen, without the presence of God, without any protection inside or outside, we, when we're lost, are vulnerable to being pushed even into to a darker realm. And you see that happening all the time. Maybe that case on Seymour Street with the man Ariel, is it just the, the sin nature inside? Cain learned about this way back Genesis 3 and 4, where sin was crouching, this force, this operating principle in fallen humanity. It was operating to push him, and he eventually gave into it. So there's a connection, just like with Judas. How was it that Satan just walked right into his life and guided him to betray Christ unto death? You read that in the Gospel of John. He walked right in. He went right inside of him. Well, it's because his heart and life was so absolutely sold out to that sin nature, that fallen nature. The deeper a person is, listen carefully, the deeper a person gives way to the sin nature, the broader the door for Satan to operate more freely. Even believers are warned in Ephesians chapter 4. Believers are told, be angry but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger and give the devil a foothold. And the Spirit of God is saying, don't give the devil a foothold. You get into the old sin nature, you give into that, you get into an area, and you can give room, you can give legal right, you can give a way for the enemy to attach to an area, a sin-based area that you've gotten into. Well, lost, if you're lost and don't know the living Christ, and don't have the authority of Christ and don't know the living Savior inside of you, you're vulnerable to all of this mounting, ramping up, and broadening work of the dark side. Because his goal, Revelation 12, is to deceive the whole world. If you don't understand that agenda, you'll never understand why the world is traveling and spiraling downward to the chaos, to the deception, and to the broadest line in human history. And the broadest destruction. And all of that is true concerning Satan. That's what happened in the garden. The lies communicated that were quotable communication, once embraced, because you can't have both. You can't hold on to what God says and then hold on to what Satan is saying. You can't hold on to what God is saying and hold on to some doctrines of demons, some extra-biblical writings. You can't do both. Satan's intent is to get you to release what God says, release the will of God, release the presence of God, and to accept, embrace, and take his lies and then his presence. That's the exchange in the garden. That's the goal constantly in the enemy's temptation. Tempting you to what? Do his will. Look at what happens in Matthew 4. That exact same thing. Well, I see this happening in Anton LaVey. I see Anton LaVey angry. I see Anton LaVey into his hedonistic lifestyle. I see Anton LaVey reading all the occultism and the rest. But I see that the satanic Bible, not so much as direct dictates of Satan as if he sat down and wrote the book, but more inspired by the dark side in defining the sin nature, the Socrata, the sin nature. Now, for those that want to do the broader study, go to Romans 8. Romans 8 describes fallen humanity. The sin nature is a living, operative nature inside that is driving on the inside for humanity to be hostile to God, not to submit to God, and also takes away the ability to be yielded to or to give a person's life to God. That's why salvation is what it is. It has to go down to the root issue. It has to break the sin nature, let alone Satan's hold and the rest. That's what salvation in Christ does. Some people can't get away. They try to reform their lives. They can't get away from what's going on inside. So what I see the nine statements do is describe the activity of the sin nature. The sin nature, hostile to God, seeks to drive humanity, any human being, against the will of God, against the word of God, and to go deeper and deeper and deeper in opposition. So when you read the Satan, well, I'm not even saying read it. I'm not even saying look at it. Anybody that has the book of Satan, the book of Lucifer, and the book of Belial, and the book of Leviathan is all inside there. The Enochian keys, invocations, satanic rituals. And the sad thing is that some get a hold of that, and by the way, local libraries hold it behind the counter now because most of the time teenagers were stealing it. As a matter of fact, when the Satanic Bible came out, 1969, I listened to one, and I don't want to quote a source because I don't have it here in front of me, but I believe it was Jerry Johnson in his book, The Rise of Evil in North America, that it outsold the Christian Bible on college campuses in 1969 and on for a year or so. And please understand, that's a big issue. All that the Satanic Bible does is speak to and fortify and give fire to the fallen nature as described in Romans 8. Here's the nine statements. Number one, Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. Right. It's really true. Satan wants people to indulge in every kind of concept that sin brings about. Now, you can read in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down, how mankind as a whole suppressed the truth of God by the wickedness, by indulgence into all the activities, whether it's sex issues or drug issues, alcohol issues, money, greed, whatever those might be. Satan as a philosophy, the Church of Satan looked at Satan as more as a philosophy But what they didn't understand was that Anton LaVey was describing the sin nature and looking within and describing his feelings and what his sin nature was all about. So it feeds the sin nature, real operative nature. It comes in the fall of the human race. Salvation comes to break that and plant in a new nature. Have you read about that? To the Satanist, have you read about that in Romans 8? Number one, the nine statements in the Satanic Bible, Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. So they would look at abstinence like not having sex before marriage or not getting drunk or high or whatever else. They see that as a bad thing. Really, Satan represents indulgence. Well, I agree, indulgence, anything to thrust you into a deeper grip of sin, because the deeper you are into sin, the wider you are open to him. Abstinence, let's ask the question, do Satanists abstain from anything? They claim the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey style Church of Satan, they claim they don't do child sacrifice, human sacrifice. I bet you there's a lot of things they abstain from. They don't believe in incest, do they? So Satan represents indulgence on all levels, but Satanists of the Church of Satan would claim they don't do certain things. They abstain from certain things. Why? So abstinence, not killing somebody, like this guy in Cleveland, you know, not raping somebody, all those, yeah, there's a lot of things we should not ever, ever do. But the satanic side represents indulgence, right? Point two, Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. Really? I mean, when you come down to Satan, what does he offer? What is it that he offers? Money, fame, sex, what else now? Instead of spirit, see, that's the way the satanic sin, the sin nature, it's hostile to God. It can't submit to God. It doesn't want to. So it would see anything God offers, as the second statement here says, as spiritual pipe dreams. Salvation, God coming inside, God loving you, God forgiving you, God giving you the gift of indestructible immortality. I wonder if they've read the other side. Point three, Satan represents undefiled wisdom instead of hypocritical self-deceit. Now, I guess I would like to spend an hour on each one of these. The Satan side does represent undefiled, not wisdom, but counterfeit or contrasted knowledge. That's part of what was offered in the garden. That's what helped bring down the human race. We're going to find out tomorrow in the devil's Bible, different than the satanic Bible, where the belief is that hidden, superior, elitist knowledge or wisdom can come from the satanic side. Instead of what? Hypocritical self-deceit. Again, them not knowing God, not knowing Christ, not knowing his presence, not knowing his power, they really have never experienced the other side. Point four, Satan represents kindness. Really, listen, kindness? Kindness to those who deserve it instead of love wasted on ingrates. So I guess they're not going to give any funds to the three girls like many people are. I heard the story of the guy that helped the first girl, Amanda, out. The guy that was going to eat his McDonald's sandwich, and then McDonald's said they were going to, you know, do something for him. That someone came to the man the other day and offered to him a reward. And he said, no, I'm a Christian. I get a paycheck. I don't want the reward. Give it to the girls. Pretty astounding. I love the fact that Jesus unleashes kindness and mercy and grace on all of us that don't deserve it. I'm glad that God loves us in that while we were yet sinners, lost, that God doesn't see us this way. Yeah, that's how Satan does. Hard, cold world, isn't it? On that side of the fence. No mercy, no grace, no nothing, no soup kitchens connected to the Satanic Church. Point five, Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. I guess that represents the Middle East. I guess that represents the terrorist. I guess that represents that if somebody says something to you, then the thing that you got to do is unleash back on them. Turning the other cheek, giving praise to God, forgiving people, the power to disarm conflict. Well, that's what God brings into the life of a human being that knows him. The ability not to have that vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I don't have to worry about all those who've done things. I can release them, forgive them. I do forgive them. I release them. I've been forgiven. The reason that Anton LaVey can pump out this philosophy, it's the sin nature. Sin nature is all about exacting revenge, getting revenge. And then that inspires more and inspires more. And look at New Orleans here over the weekend. Look at the shootings. Look at the vengeance. Look at those who want to come back. Look at the Hatfields and McCoys. Sin nature. That's what Satan loves. Point six, Satan represents responsibility to the responsible instead of concern for psychic vampires. So there's no counseling centers at the Church of Satan. No soup kitchens. No nowhere to lay your weary head. Nowhere to get burdens released. Shove those people out of the way. Just indulgence, 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 indulgence. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. Party till you puke, like one t-shirt said. Number seven, Satan represents man as just another animal, sometimes better, more often worse than those who walk on all fours. Man, I tell you what, I think Anton LaVey was a bitter old man. I think that this speaks into the bitterness, into the anger of people who don't know how to get out of it. This is what speaks to those who've given in to the sin nature. They talk about in point seven a divine, spiritual, intellectual development, but the Church of Satan doesn't believe Satan's real. Where are they going to get the spiritual or the divine, spiritual, and intellectual development? Mankind's the most vicious. Right, because of the sin nature, because of the fall, because of sin, because of Satan. Point eight, Satan represents all kinds of the so-called sins as they lead to physical, mental, emotional gratification. So steal, cheat, lie, lust, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, all the rest, use people, everything else, get into it, indulge. Party till you puke, man. And a backdrop to a lot of this, Nietzsche, who died depressed, crazed. I've never yet met a happy, joyful Satanist, like the one I met in Cleveland that was so filled with depression and down and bitterness and anger and self-glorification, but he had no joy. Eventually, he repented that night and turned to Christ, and he had demons in him. He had to be kicked out. Hey, what about point nine? Satan has been the best friend the church has ever had. Kept the church in business all these years, right? If you really believe that Satan is anything real, then look at the other side of the fence. The King of Heaven loves you, calls you, a Savior that dies, comes for you, loves you, counsels you, frees you, gives you the gift of eternal life. More to say on this tomorrow night. This is Russ Dizdar, The Ragged Edge, at the end of the hour. Good night.